So glad to see everybody out on a cold Saturday today. I was very surprised at how chilly it actually was this morning. But the word the Lord has placed in my heart for today starts with the word established. That's going to be our main word today, the word established. And this was something that I had come across over the summertime. And just since then, the Lord has not let me release it. So it's a word that I believe he wants to deliver today. So for you who's in the room, for those that will hear it. So the word is established. We're going to talk a little bit about how God has established his covenant in the earth. But next, how we establish his promises in our lives. And then how we take that and are able to establish what we have in the lives of others. So I want to just start real quick with the definition of the word established. In the Webster's Dictionary, the word established means stabilize, set fast, fix, to render constant, to confirm one's mind, to make stable. That would be the dictionary definition of established. The Strong's Hebrew definition is close to it, fix firmly, direct myself towards. So when we're talking about establishing the word, we want to be directed towards what God's promises are, to stand, solidly plant. And when God's word is established in our life and solidly planted, the next part of that definition says, which eliminates vacillation. So as we talk about God's promises and establishing God's promises in our life, and we do that, God has already established his covenant. Now it's up to us to establish those promises. It keeps us from vacillating in our walk when we truly establish what God has for us. So God himself has established a covenant to us in the Old Testament, which is fully revealed in the New Testament. God established his covenant with his people on a personal level and then as a whole nation. And in the Old Testament, it was a legal relationship that God had with his people. He said, if you do this, then I will do. If you do this, then I will do. That's what his covenant was. Here's my covenant promises. If you do this, I will do that. In the New Testament, we have Jesus saying, I have done this. Now walk in it. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. We have covenant promises that have already been established for us, that have already been provided for us, and now it's up to us to establish those in our life. That's where we're going today. So we're going to start right off with Jesus is the mediator of the covenant in Hebrews 8:15. I'm going to just read some scripture verses if you want to write down the references, and then you can go ahead and look them up. Jesus is the mediator of the covenant. He's the mediator, Hebrews 8:15. God has established us in Christ, 2 Corinthians 1:21. We are to establish our faith. That's Colossians 2:7. We are to be established in holiness, 1 Thessalonians 3:13. We are established with grace, which is Hebrews 13:9. And right there in that verse, it says we are set our salvation by God's grace, not our works. So our salvation is all the grace of God. Praise him, and not our works. We are to establish our own heart. Again, let's go back to the definition of establish. Set firm, fix, solidly plant. And that's 1 Corinthians 7:37. We are to be established in truth. Again, firmly planted in truth, so we're not going to vacillate. That's 2 Peter 1:12. We're to be established in righteousness, right standing with God, established in that, set firm in that, not waiting to be moved, knowing that we are stabilized in that righteousness. That's Isaiah 54:14. We too are to establish each other in faith. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Luke 22:33 and Acts 14:22. We are to establish strength to one another. Romans 1:11. And Jesus Christ has already established his throne in our lives and on earth. That's Psalms 1, verse 2. Most of those verses, if you go to look them up, will be found in the Amplified Version of the Bible. So the key to establishing something is to set it in place, and then everything around it will rotate around what has been established. So, for example, the throne of God is established in our hearts and in our lives, which then means that underneath all that should be the kingdom of God. If the throne of Christ is established in our lives, firmly set, not vacillating, fixed, then everything under that will fall in line with what the kingdom of God is. Amen? So those are some of the things that the Lord has established and prepared for us in his word. Those are his covenant promises. He's already established them. But how do we now establish those in our own lives? We establish that by our words. We firmly fix it. We set it in place. We line our words up with the will of God. What is God's will for our life? The word. So when we speak out the word and declare the word, we are then establishing these promises in our own life. God will not alter what he says. Amen? In Psalms 89:34, God promises, my covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. So every promise in here, every promise is firmly set. It is set and established for eternity. It's now up to us to line our confession up with what's been established by the word. So the question is, whose words are we establishing? What are we establishing in our life? What is firmly set in our life? What's fixed? What have we set in place and in motion for our lives, for our family, for our workplace? We have the power and authority to establish something in our daily lives. And here's the key. When we say and we confess, we're not denying it. We're not denying a situation. We're not denying that we have pain in our body. We're not denying that there's an issue happening with our family. It's not denial, but we're establishing what it is that we have, those promises. We know what we possess. We have to stop going by what we feel and go by what we know. When we start making decisions by what we are feeling, those decisions will be disastrous. The Lord gave me a lot of D's for that one. Disastrous decisions when we go by what we're feeling. Our feelings are false. They're going to lead us in the wrong direction. But when we go by what we know, we possess. We can possess every promise in this book. But it's our choice on what we establish around us. I want to read something that Charles Capps had stated, and this is where actually this message had come from to start. So I'm going to read you a quote from Charles Capps. He says, there is a spiritual law in motion that will confine you to the very position or circumstance you are in when you set that law in motion. A correct application of this spiritual law will change even the most impossible situation. Incorrect application will hold you in bondage and beneath your heritage. And that's up to us. We can take the promises of God and we could establish what is ours as the heritage of the children of God, as daughters of the Most High God, and bring that established environment wherever we go. Or we can have incorrect application of this and of our words and what we're saying, how we're carrying ourselves. And that is going to put us back in bondage and living beneath our heritage. I don't want to live beneath my heritage. I am blessed woman of God. You are a blessed woman of God here today. You are a daughter of the Most High. It's time for us to walk and live in what God has established for us, but it's up to us to establish it for ourselves now. So we could speak words contrary to the word of God. We could speak the enemy's plans, opposing the word. We can retain and repeat other people's opinions. If you were here in church on Sunday, you heard Paulie's message about how he feels about opinions. It was good. But if it's not, put in the drawer. We were going to rename his message for him, put in the drawer. If it's not lining up with God's word, we should not be saying it. And if it's not lining up with God's word about someone else or about a situation, we shouldn't be saying it. It's time to take control over, put a watch over our mouth. The Lord said to catch our train of thought, because it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And what we are speaking about is coming from our thoughts. So catch that train. I don't know about you, but I have caught myself in the bathroom putting my makeup on, and I am 10 minutes into a conversation that I've never had with somebody, and I'm already setting an atmosphere for when I go to them. So it's time to take a step back and get control over our thoughts and what we're meditating on about someone else, about ourselves, and about situations, because that's the atmosphere we are establishing around us. And we could establish the promises of God, or, as Charles Capps says, we can have incorrect application. I don't want incorrect application. It's a spiritual law. So it's going to work for our benefit, or it's going to work to put us back in bondage. That's our choice today. Amen? Because Jesus himself always spoke the desired results, never the present circumstance. What is your desired result of the circumstance you're in? You know, the prophet Elijah asked Elijah, what is it you want? And then it was given to him. What is it that we're looking for out of the circumstance you're in? What is it that you're looking to see with your children? What is it you're looking to see out of your marriage? What is it? What's the desired results you would like today? You can put those desired results out there if they're in accordance with the will of God, and then they'll be there. How do we know the will of God? Because we know the Word of God. Amen? So we need some reprogramming in our thinking, because again, out of the meditation of our hearts, our mouth speaks. We need to reprogram our thinking about everything, not just about ourselves. We all need to be changed, but how about how we are affecting other people and situations and what we're thinking about? Because again, that's what we're taking with us. The Holy Spirit said this to me, we respond to what we focus on. So when we are walking into a situation, if we have already preset our mind that this is going to happen in the negative, or this is going to happen in the positive, that's what we're going to respond to. How many of you have looked at like I Spy books? Those little I Spy books, I love them. Or the Where's Waldo? Or even maybe some of those images where you used to have to stare at all the dots until the picture came forward? Well, those were the exact examples the Holy Spirit gave me about this. Because what we focus on is what we respond to in ourselves. If I'm focusing always on what I feel is negative or needs to be changed, that's where I'm going to get stuck on. And there is time for that, don't get me wrong, and about situations and things that we're dealing with. I have a funny story about Anthony, I'll tell you in a second, but about that. But when we focus on all that's negative, we're never going to give time to grow what's positive in our own life and in situations. And when we walk into a room and we are preset in our minds, oh, I'm going to go to this meeting, and that person next to me is going to tap their pen, and they're going to speak out of turn, and that's all we're going to focus on, and we're going to be quick to respond to that. What if we walk in and go, hey, that person had a great idea last time. I'm going to expect another great idea. And then that's what we could start feeding off of, because we're going to respond to what we're focused on. For those of you who may not know, our son Anthony is away at college. He's not really. He's away down the road at college. He's still away. But when he comes home, he definitely is an atmosphere shifter in our home. He is my pile person. So I know when he walks in the door, there's a bag of gear, lacrosse gear, and then there's his backpack, and then there's the laptop. And it just kind of goes throughout the house. So we definitely know when Ant's home. And when he comes down in the morning time, I definitely know he's there. He's a presence. And there's a couple of habits that he has that, as his mom, I think, didn't I correct these along the way? And like, how did I miss that? And I caught myself the last time he was home really focused on these negative habits and huffing while I'm getting my coffee, like, what? He's so doing all this in my head about him. And then I turned around and yes, he was burping really loud, and he never cleaned up what I asked him to clean up that night. He just belches. And I turned around and I saw him with his Bible open, his devotion book out. And it's just, what was I focused on? What was I going to respond to? I was going to respond to his rude burping, let's be honest. But when I turned around, it was what? Yes, all those things need to be addressed, and I will address those, not today. But that's a funny thing. But think about that. When we walk in a house, when we're ready to talk to a neighbor, when we're walking into a family situation, when we're dealing with a spouse, when we're dealing with coworkers, what is it that we are gearing up for to respond to? Because what we focus on is what we're going to be quick to respond to. The Bible says to think on things that are pure and holy and of a good report. And that's so we can help those beautiful traits grow in one another. Let's think about the I Spy picture. Because if you've ever looked at an I Spy picture, once you see that item, you find it again really quick, right? or where's Waldo? Once you find him, you keep looking at that page, you know exactly where he is. That's why it's so important for us to be focused on the things that we can help grow in each other, the things that we can help cultivate in one another, the things that we want to see changed in a situation for the glory of God. And this is what God did. Our Heavenly Father gave us this example. The minute he called Abram, Abraham, he focused on what he was making him to be. I want to read Romans 4, 17 and 22. Romans 4, 17 through 22. Says here, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom we believe, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things into being that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believes and became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead, yet she did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith. Amen? And then it says, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised, this is why it is credited unto him righteousness. Now I want to go right to that story in Genesis, which is in Genesis 17, where God called Abraham to be the father of many nations. Genesis 17, 3 through 8. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. God has given us so many covenant promises. Amen? This is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between you and me and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of the descendants after you. God has established covenants with us. It's time for us to take what has already been established and place them in our life. Now, do we think that Abraham felt like the father of many nations at this point in time? I don't think he did. I don't think he felt like a father of many nations. He wasn't. How does a man become a father, but know he's a father? At least a woman, when the minute she conceives, she knows. She starts to feel like a mom. But a father doesn't really feel like a father yet. But yet God was calling him the father of many nations. God was declaring, he was establishing who Abraham was already, what that covenant promise was. He believed and became, again, not what we feel, it's what we know. God established his covenant and called him Abraham before he was. What covenant promise is God calling out for you today to be established? Which promise is it that you need to establish and firmly fix in your life? Is it strength? Is it health? Is it wholeness? Is it restoration? These are all promises for us in the Word of God. What is it that you feel God is calling you out into today as he called Abram out to be Abraham? What has God made you and called you to be? You are strong. You are courageous. You are full of faith. You are prosperous in every area. This is what God made you and who he called you to be. Now it's up to you to establish this in your life. What has God made you and called your marriage to be? Filled with peace, with joy. I was reminded that Jesus used the example of his love for us and his covenant with us as a covenant in marriage. That's how serious God takes marriage. So what has God called your marriage to be? Establish it, declare it, desire what God promises. What has God made and called your children to be? He's called them to walk in favor. He's called them to walk in their purpose. This is what we are to establish over our children. He's called them to walk in the heritage of blessing. We are to establish a heritage of blessing for our children. You know, for years I was breaking and binding every generational curse. I wrote them all down, and I was binding them and breaking them and rebuking them, getting rid of them, getting them out of my house. But the next step was to establish the heritage of blessing, to start speaking life and blessing and speaking over our children, our world. I don't know who's connected in your world. They might not be your biological children. They might be your relatives. They might be your family members. What are you establishing for them? What are you speaking out over them? I'm so quick to bind and curse and rebuke and cast down. Yes, we have to do that. That's our authority in Jesus' name. The next step is start loosing, start establishing, start stabilizing what is ours and what our promises are in the Lord. Amen? So we have a covenant promises, many of them to walk in, and we are to establish this word in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Men? So God has established this promise, and he called Abraham before it came into the natural reality. So what is God established in you that you need to see today? Is it prosperity, not to just have, but is it good stewardship to be a blessing? Is it a new job so that you can walk in your full purpose? Are we walking in our full heritage? Or have we, as Charles Capp said, put ourselves beneath and back in bondage because of the spiritual laws that are in effect? I want to take you to a story in the book of Judges about establishing who you are in the Lord. Judges chapter 6, let's go there together. So we're establishing, we're walking in our covenant blessings. Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And I want to just read it because there's so much in this portion of scripture. And if you know the story about Gideon of the 300, this is prior to that. This is the chapter right before that. And the Holy Spirit had brought me to it, and it just spoke so much to me. And I pray it really stirs up in you today. The Word of God is so amazing, isn't it? You can just open it and get something amazing and new every time. I love it. All right. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in the mountain cliffs, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land and ravaged it. So impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hands of the Egyptian, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord, your God. Do not worship the God of the Amorites in whose land you live,' but you had not listened to me. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak of Ophrah that belonged to Jahaza, where his son Gideon was thrashing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'Pardon me, my Lord,' Gideon replied, 'but if the Lord is with us, why has this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told about us when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?" But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us to the hand of Midian.' The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?'" So let's just stay right here for a moment. The angel of the Lord came to Gideon. The Israelites are hiding in caves, pushed back. And they were making do in this place. They're the people of God. And they are making do hiding in caves. They are making do having what they are toiling for taken from them. All their work now in vain, their crops, their livestock. Gideon is hiding, thrashing wheat when he is called a mighty warrior. When God called him out and said, "You mighty warrior." Do you think Gideon felt like a mighty warrior? Do you think the Israelites felt like the people of God? No. They were under oppression. They were impoverished. And they were being depleted everything from them by the enemy. They were making do in this place. They were settling in the caves. They were the people of God who had been given a promised land. And now they had allowed the enemy to push them so far back that they were hiding in strongholds. Let's not get comfortable in the strongholds that the enemy has pushed us back into. Let's not hide out in a cave because we're afraid to move out and face the enemy that's in front of us. Is all your work that you're doing in prayer and in confession being stolen by the enemy? It's time that we stand up and establish our covenant promise as the people of God. The Israelites had to come out of that cave. They had to be reminded. They were reminded, did I not bring you out? Did I not allow you to defeat that land? How did you end up back here in these caves? Then the angels called Gideon a mighty warrior. And Gideon's response was not feeling like a mighty warrior. He was like, excuse me, by the way, do you see where we are? Do you see what I'm doing right now? He wasn't trained to be a warrior. And now at this point, he's a farmer. He's grinding up wheat, hiding it, because he's so fearful of the enemy. God's calling us out, ladies. He's calling us out of the caves. He's calling us out of the strongholds that the enemy has put us into. Let's not become complacent, because it's hard to establish. Gideon had to make a decision, and it wasn't going to be easy coming out of those caves. He got comfortable. He got complacent in that cave. The people of God got complacent there. It's time to shake off that complacency and come out of and establish the promises that God has for us. God is calling you out today, establishing himself in you, calling you by a new name. Abraham, father of many nations. Gideon, a mighty warrior. What's the Lord calling to you today? Healed of the Lord, mighty woman of faith, woman of the word, godly young person. What is it you need? Filled with wisdom? Establish it. Declare it. Set it in motion for your life. God is working in us to bring us to a place of firmness, durability, reliability, and faith, not vacillating. That's what the word established means. I don't want to vacillate. I want to be so established in the truth of God's word that as situations come, as the enemy comes, I'm firmly fixed and established and not going to get pushed back into a cave. Amen? I want to talk just now about establishing each other. God's word is established. His covenant is established. God's word is already established for us. His promises are established. It's up to us to establish God's word through our words, what we're saying, what we're declaring, what we're focusing on, what we focus on, we respond to. And that's going to take us into the next place about what we're establishing in each other. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 1, establishing one another. Because that's what this is about, this walk. It's not just about us and what we need from the Lord. It's about what those around us need. Our family members, our co-workers, our neighbors. There's a world around us that needs the promises of God drawn out in them. What we focus on, we respond to. Amen? So we have promises of God. God's already established his covenant. It's already here. We establish it in our words. I don't want to live under, beneath the heritage. We want to establish this spiritual. There's always a spiritual law at work. We can use it correctly or incorrectly. It's up to us. How are we using it? It's that simple. This is a simple word today. Next, we're going to talk about establishing each other. 2 Corinthians 1:21 in the Amplified. Says, but it is God who confirms and makes us steadfast and establishes us together in joint fellowship in Christ and has consecrated and anointed us, endowing us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, the word established, let's talk about this definition again. To fix firmly, direct myself towards, solidly plant, which eliminates vacillation. So God has already confirmed and established us in Christ. Now I want to go to Romans 1:11. And it says here, I'm yearning to see you that I may impart and share with you some spiritual gifts to strengthen and establish you. We bring with us our spiritual gifts that God's put in us. We bring that wherever we go. It's up to us if we want to use those gifts to establish what is going on in someone else's life, to draw out the fruit of the Spirit in someone else, to bring to the surface godliness, to bring to the surface peace, to bring to the surface the goodness of the Lord. We can come alongside and establish that in one another. And that's what the Lord is telling us to do. We establish others by the Spirit of God in us, His gifts, His word, prayers rightfully prayed. How are we praying for one another? Are we praying about situations? Or are we talking about it? Our opinions? Are we establishing God's righteousness in the lives of those around us? Are we encouraging one another to keep growing? To keep growing in the things of the Spirit. In Luke chapter 22, verse 32, Jesus tells Peter, I have prayed for, especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail. And when you yourself have turned again, turn and strengthen and establish your own brethren. That's what we are to be doing now, to turn and strengthen one another. When I looked this up, a little object lesson. When I looked up the word established in Rick Renner's Gems, if you have that book, it's amazing, the devotion book, and I looked up the word established, he described the word established as this, so I'm stealing this from him. He said, when we establish the word of God in one another and the gifts of God in one another, we are like putting a root, a stake down in a garden where we can help the direction of someone's growth, right? Isn't that what we want to do for one another? We want to give direction to someone's growth. I want to give direction to the fruit of the Spirit in the lives of my children. So I need to establish God's word in their life. I want to give strength to a coworker when they need it. So I'm going to establish that in their life. And that gives direction and guidance and leading to help somebody else grow. It's not all about us. What you have in you, Jesus says, go and take so that you can strengthen and establish that in someone else's life. This is what we are to do with one another. That when you feel weak, I can come along with strength and you can grow your strength. That when my faith seems to be wavering, someone can come alongside me and place their strength next to me and establish that strength, and then I can grow in that strength. That's what we are to be doing for one another. And what we focus on, again, is what we respond to. Amen? So what are we focused on? You know, we to talk about that focus thing for a moment again, because I feel like it's really important that we get our mindset fixed on what God wants us focused on. You know, sometimes when we're with somebody, they're not yet walking in the full salvation of the Lord, it can be really easy to get focused on what it is that's maybe negative, or what it is that's hard for me to manage. There's times where that's all I'm focused on and my eyes can't get any bigger. And what happens in the past is that's what I'm gearing up for when I go. And I get so focused on that that's what I'm responding to, my body language is responding to. And the Holy Spirit totally was saying, that's not working anymore. You're not getting anywhere with this. And he allowed me to focus on their need for love. He allowed me to focus on they needed compassion. They didn't need me to criticize and correct. They needed me to love. They needed me to focus on the area that I could pull out to grow. Big difference. And that's just because the Lord wants us to come along somebody and establish something in their lives. And we all have it. We've been given, just like Peter said, I want you to take your faith that you have and go and establish it in someone else. Let's establish strength in someone so that we can pull them up and allow them to grow. We need to do that for one another. We need to do that for one another here. What are we focused on when we walk into a service, when we walk into church? Because what we're focused on, we're going to respond to. So what are we focusing on? That's our train of thought. What are we gearing up for? That's always what I say, I'm gearing up for this. Well, that's not how I'm supposed to be doing. That's wrong. I need to be preparing to what the Lord wants me to focus on, because that's what I'm going to respond to. And if I'm focused in the Spirit, I'm going to pull out what God wants to grow in that situation. Amen? Amen. Which is why Philippians 4:8 says to think on things that are pure and holy and of a good report. Because then that's what we're always going to be focused on. All those other things, yes, that joke, that little story about Anthony, yeah, all those things need to change and grow, no doubt. But what am I responding to? Am I responding in the Spirit? Are we gearing up in the Spirit, not in our flesh? Men? So we have authority to establish in our lives. What is it that we are choosing to establish? When you look at your tomorrow, when you look at the week ahead, when you look at what events you have coming up, what are you already establishing for those days? We don't have to just, oh, as it happens, it happens. I'll deal with it when I get there. No. That's living beneath our heritage. We can establish now what we want to see. What is it that you want? How is it you want this situation to play out? What are the results you're looking for? Let's start establishing that in the Word. Amen? So we can establish what is ahead with purpose in our sight and hope on our lips. And that's our prayer today. Amen.